Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are still on the word fear. On the word power. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember the word power here. It's power residing in a thing by the a thing or person by the virtue of its nature. And that means that, as we said, the silly analogies are fish swim, birds fly. The vehicle by which they do that is called the power. Amen? 2 Corinthians 12. Well, we have to start at verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But here it's the word strength is the word for power. His power is made perfect in weakness. The third heaven is an interesting concept. In general, it means the sky up to the clouds was the first heaven. And the clouds up to the stars was the second heaven. And something inexpressible was the third heaven. The third heaven is the location of the New Jerusalem. The third heaven is the location where Christ is seated on the mercy seat. And that was not reachable until the death and resurrection of Christ and then Pentecost. Now the third heaven has descended. And that's our overriding reality. If you can finally see through and not see at. And that's the most important thing that was done on Pentecost, is the third heaven came down from above and joined, the heavenly Matrona joined the earthly body. The meaning of that and the description of it and all the other stuff, it's not just not lawful, it's not possible to speak of, because we have nothing in our language, even in Hebrew, to really express that So that's why Christ spoke in parables. Because in a parable, in a multiplicity of parables, you can get a taste of what it is. But the mystery of God is that power of that third heaven, which is all power, is only possible in us in weakness. That's exactly opposite from anything that we could ever think about. You couldn't come to this understanding or this position by reason or logic. The only thing that you can come to by reason and logic is that your sin is scarlet. Come now, let us reason together, though your sin is scarlet. It's tautological that the meaning of that is that let's reason together to the point of seeing the emptiness of all things. Amen? His strength, his dunamis, his power is made perfect in weakness. I hate that. Part of me just despises that. Because I don't like to be weak. I don't like to be like I am right now. Anyhow. Now let's go to chapter 13. Verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So even in the power of Christ, he gave it up. The mind of Christ is to come to that total place of emptying, so that even in the task that we can't even imagine, going down to the nether world for 3 days after his death, we can't even imagine what that was. It would have been child's play if he would have used his own power, but he didn't. He stayed in that moment of dependence on God, trusting that the Father knew what he was doing. Now, if you can think of that and see that, even if we can't comprehend it, can you see how then easy it could be for us in comparison to remain in that position of weakness no matter what is going on around you? You have no excuse. We are without excuse for not remaining in that position of emptiness and weakness. Christ is only revealed in our nothingness. In our Bible study last night, Rachel asked, she was questioning what does it mean to know him? Well, this is the only way you know him, in total weakness. What, Tom? You're doing it again. You're taking over John or Gary's place.
No, I was thinking about what you said, that, you know, it doesn't do you any good to despise being weak about it. You're not going to know him any other way. You don't have to like it.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 7. This is talking about, remember we've studied before that the priesthood in in the temple, the parable temple in Jerusalem, was by genetics. You had to be a direct descendant of Aaron in order for it to be a member of, to be in the priesthood, especially in the high priest. The because of that genetic succession of priesthood, many of the priests were blithering idiots. They didn't have the capacity even to do the holy service. And so the Levites carried them. The Levites taught the priests. Even in the case of the priesthood, the high priest that would go into the Holy of Holies on that one day, which was the day of Yom Kippur, there are stories in the Talmud how the Levites schooled him for weeks and maybe months beforehand exactly what he should do in there. And they even tied a rope around his ankle, because if he did it wrong in the Holy of Holies, he would be killed, but the earth would come to an end, according to the legend. So it was their own self preservation that they had to sit and teach very carefully the high priest exactly what he would do. But Christ became a high priest. He's our high priest, not after the order of Aaron. He's after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, the Hebrews says, of whom I have many things to say unto you about this Melchizedek. But then he goes on and... It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So Melchizedek is the model for the priesthood of Christ. Someday we'll study that Melchizedek guy. But right now, we're going to verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest? What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is of made of necessity a change also in the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arise another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So, in verse 16, who was made not after the law of carnal commandments, but after the power of an endless life, after the dunamis of an endless life. I wish we had sometime. I want to go through this whole thing about who Melchizedek was and why he was important. He was so important that Abraham paid tithes to him. And that's a biggie. All right, go to 11. Hebrews 11. Let's go to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, remember, that was a title. It wasn't just an act or a situation. It meant he was the next Pharaoh. He was the next king of the known world. He was in line. The reason was because, according to Egyptian law, if the Pharaoh had no male son, then the son, the eldest son of his oldest daughter, became the Pharaoh. Remember that Moses, he began to have an understanding of who he was. He knew who he was with regard after the flesh, and he was trained to be the next Pharaoh his whole life. But he began to see who he really was. And I think if I remember this right, there was an Egyptian soldier that was mistreating one of his new people, the Israelites. And Moses killed him. And he fled and lived in the desert for 40 years until a Pharaoh who arose who knew not Moses. Then he could come back. But anyway, now listen, so He fled because he killed an Egyptian soldier. But look at how faith testifies of that act. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now that's not what happened. He killed the soldier and he fled for his life. But in the eyes of God, faith is the only thing that happened. The same is true here. We could go down to John Bojo. He refused the riches of Wall Street and chose to rather suffer the persecutions of the people of God. And we could go around the room, and that's how faith sees you. It doesn't see anything except faith. So you're already in this position that is at the highest that you can go. It's the best that man can be, to reckoning that he is but a vessel for the Holy One. You understand what I'm saying? All right. In we're going to continue reading. through faith he kept the Passover, in verse 28, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed for about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And the Talmud says that Rahab became the wife of Joshua. But that's another story. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, I can't even pronounce it, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, turned off ice machines. No. Through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mocking, of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now the verse 34, out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness, out of, it's not weakness because you were necessarily born weak. It's weakness, it's proffered weakness. It's weakness, it's voluntary weakness. Otherwise, there would, you know, there's, and so in that total of emptying, his power is revealed in you. Now, why would you then continue on in your own strength? There's only one reason. The instead of Christ in you, your mind. Amen? One more. Acts 4. Then we'll go to something else or we'll quit. I think we'll quit because I don't feel like talking anymore. Peter and John were imprisoned. And they went before the high priest, and they were threatened and then released. And then when they were released to the people, it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that are in them, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the power and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined that before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And of the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that anything of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Now, and the word we're studying, obviously, is in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness. Again, because of their weakness, the power of the certainty of this mystery of God in them. So God granted them great power, not as we think of power, but this sure, tested results of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. All right. We'll study sound mind, hopefully. What day is it? Is it today and Friday? Is it Thursday? All right. Anything, any response to any of all that? Maureen?
I guess it just seems like such an oxymoron that you have to be empty and weak and then power, God's power manifests.
Amen. It's not conceivable by our minds that that would be the way to live. You see, in this, that's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that everything is perfect, everything is finished. You just have to be. And in that being, things will happen. No plans, no deciding this is what we're going to do next. Just living. Being. Okay? Take it, big guy.